Amen. Good. I have a little piece of jewelry up here that says blessed faith and grace. If it belongs to any of you young ladies, I'm going to lay it right up here. You're welcome to come get it after the service, or if you know who it belongs to. It was found out in the parking lot. Appreciate it being turned in. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad I know the Lord is my Savior, and I'm glad that I can understand and appreciate what they've sung about today. This morning, we're going to be reading out of John chapter number 19 in just a minute. Before we do, I want to again say this morning we appreciate the church and the goodness of the church and the kindness of the people. Appreciate those that take care of our sound upstairs. We appreciate them allowing us to be able to come and put all this together and actually do a recording for this to be able to go out on Facebook. I mean, obviously, it's been quite some time since we started doing that, but we do have people that are watching. Got a lot of prayer requests this morning already, so we got a lot of things to pray about. There are some members of our church that have been in the hospital. Some have gotten out. We praise the Lord for that. Miss Denise Denton Grover went home from the hospital, and we're glad to hear that because she was pretty sick on a ventilator. Also, got a call this morning from, or a text, a message, I guess, from my niece, Melissa, Missy, and she is having some complications and like for you to pray for her. And she's been watching the service regularly on Facebook. I mean, she lives a ways away, but we praise the Lord that it's able to go out and reach to them. Quite a few others. I mean, there are people everywhere that have needs, and God knows about those needs, and He knows how to help. Enjoyed Celebrate Recovery. Had our first service here last Monday night. It was good to look around and see some folks, and we had a fairly good crowd after not having it for 6 months. And, you know, had a good service here last Wednesday night. I think we had 40-plus people in the sanctuary on a Wednesday night for a youth service, so that was a blessing. We had probably about 27, 28 youth, and we had some young adults, older younger adults. I mean, they talked about Tommy Bruce, and I know he's probably watching this morning, that he was one of them. He was not really an old person, but they miss him. And we miss, you know, anytime somebody's not here, we miss you. Brother Tommy is actually quarantining for some surgery, so pray for him. Also remember Brother Darla and Brother Thomas and Miss Darla. Let me get that right. I'll be in trouble. They're both not doing well, feeling bad. They did test negative for corona, so it's not that, but they do have some things going on, so pray for them. Because of that, we will not be having a Facebook Live today, and because it is fall break, we're not going to be having a Wednesday night service, as Brother Allen has already mentioned. And we're not going to have choir practice today, okay? So we'll get all that out of the way. And then I want to thank you again for your giving. You know, we take up offering on Sunday morning as you go out the door, and then I get an update usually Monday or Tuesday from Miss Joyce about what the PayPal was like. And some people have gotten accustomed to giving online, and you can go on our website and hit the giving link, and you can give through PayPal, and we appreciate you doing that. You know, there are churches that have not survived this pandemic. There are churches that are bigger than this one, and there are churches that are smaller than this one. I know pastors, I have talked to them because of the difficulties financially and what has happened. So, church, I can't tell you enough, thank you for what you have done and your continued giving. You know, I was given an update this morning in regards to our building. We are in the process of getting our property zoned accordingly as one piece for a church, so that when this is through and behind us, we look forward, we can continue our building program. We believe God has a plan for this church, and we believe that's still part of it. And I am looking forward to being able to get back to having Sunday school. I am looking forward to getting back to having Awana. It may be just a little bit longer, and we understand that, but it will come. People say, well, it'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will. It's coming. It's going to happen, and it doesn't matter who's elected. It's still going to happen, okay? Now, we believe that as Christians, we should vote for the one that supports our biblical values, right? We know that. If you don't believe that, you might need to get saved. That's just where your pastor's at, okay? I can't help it, okay? If it's supported in the Word of God, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, okay? I want to tell you where this church is at. I'm a pro-life pastor. I believe in your rights as parents to lead your kids and teach them what you want to teach them, okay? And I'll tell you, don't care who's in the Supreme Court, who's in the White House, marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay? That's where your pastor's at. Now, when they run me off, I'm going to fish full-time or deer hunt if it's cold. Until then, I'm going to preach because I'd rather be in the house of God than anywhere. Okay? But it really don't matter who gets elected. Jesus is still on the throne. My son put a sign up, and thank you, Brother Keith, for the sign. We got one out in front of the church. Jesus 2020. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what party you're affiliated with. If you don't know Jesus, you need to get saved. There's one way to heaven, and that's Him. And after this election, it's going to start to change. And we're going to get back to having Sunday school. And, brother, we're going to go ahead and we're going to plan a wild game banquet. I'm going to looking forward to it. I'm going to have to eat enough barbecue this year to make up for last year. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, if you got your Bible, let's go to John chapter number 19. And I want to talk this morning about the cross of Christ and the message of the cross. And I'll tell you why that this is on my heart. I got to go down in the woods yesterday, and I love to go down in the woods. And it was cool, and I got to do a lot of work without getting real tired because of that. But I was down there, and I looked, and there was a little camper sitting over there, and somebody had cleaned up around it. And they had taken a lot of junk out from in front of it, but one thing I noticed is they stuck the cross right in the middle. Some of the stuff that was there was gone, but the cross was there. It was stuck up. And I looked at that cross, and I got to thinking about it for just a minute. And I got to thinking about what that cross meant. And I thought so many things went through my heart and my mind. And this is the way it is sometimes as a preacher. I want God to speak to me, and I want to preach what God wants. I don't ever want to get up here and preach what I think or what I want. That's nothing. I don't want to preach what somebody else tells me they think I ought to. I've actually had that happen to me. But I want to preach what God wants. And I got to thinking about that cross, and I got to thinking about how that I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ is because of what Jesus did for me. And I got to thinking about the message of the cross, but I got to thinking about how the cross impacts the individual. And the cross impacts us all if you're saved. But if we have the cross and we display it, whether we wear it on a chain around our neck or like you do, you probably have one. I know we've had boxes of them up here during Celebrate Recovery, and they're just little white wooden crosses, and we allow people to take them, and they'll stick them up in their yard, or they'll stick them up in a flower bed, or they'll stick them up in front of their hunting camper, or they'll hang them in a window. It's a message that goes to the world that says, I believe in the cross of Christ, and I believe what the cross represents. And I believe what the cross has done for me. I watched a film one time, and there was a preacher in this film was driving his car. And just like you do, he run past someone on the street, and someone comes up to your window. You don't know what they're going to do, especially if it's dark. Most of the time, you think they're going to ask you for money, right? It's like the real friendly guy at the gas station. He's going to talk to you for a minute, but then he's going to tell you something. You got to follow the Lord when that happens. I can't tell you what to do. But the preacher had someone tap on his window, and he asked him, roll down the window, ask him a question. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? The preacher responded, well, I'm a preacher. He said, well, I didn't ask you if you were a preacher. He said, do you believe in the cross of Christ? See, I'm not asking you if you're a preacher. I'm not asking you if you're a Sunday school teacher. I'm not asking you if you work in Awana. I'm asking you, do you believe in the cross of Christ? And I thought about this as I thought about this service this morning, and I thought about the cross that we have behind us here and the cross that's on the front of this stand and even the shape of this stand. Isn't this beautiful? And I want to say this, not everybody here may not know this, but Brother Keith Davis built this. And I cannot tell you how many hours of love and compassion for the people of this church that he put into this when he built it. But it's a standing testimony that Brother Keith Davis believed in the cross of Christ. You know, we talk about what we're going to do in the future. We talk about maybe one day having a choir room, maybe having a baptismal that's built in the wall. And we've talked about it this way. We don't ever want to remove the cross of Christ. I even heard a preacher one time, he made the comment, he said, I was called to go to a church, and it was one of those little churches. And I'm not telling you I'm like this, I'm just telling you some significance. He said, I pulled up to the place that was supposed to be the church, and I looked around. I stuck my head in the door, and I looked around. He said, nowhere did I see anything that mentioned Jesus, and he said, there was no cross. He said, I left. You think, well, he shouldn't have been that way. How significant is the cross of Christ? You see, the cross, honestly, is a constant reminder. Every time we see the cross, it should be a reminder of what the cross represents. I've even heard people will challenge Christians, just like they'll challenge you about your faith sometimes, and they don't do this because they want an answer. They do it because they want to find something that they can. There are people like that today. Why do you have a cross hanging around your neck? Don't you know that that is a symbol of death? And it is. And I want you to understand something, that with the message of the cross, the first thing to understand is, yes, the cross is a cruel message. It's a cruel message because the cross of Jesus Christ was a bloodstained cross. It was a cruel message because if you study the scripture, and I believe what the scripture says, and you can even study it historically and understand what crucifixion was, that in Christ's case, when they laid him down and they had that long horizontal piece under his shoulders and his arms, they drove a spike right through the bony part of both hands. And they put him on that cross, and when he hung up on that cross was bloodstained. You know, we have a service here at Easter oftentimes when the ladies will come and they will decorate the cross. They'll put flowers on the cross and they call it the blooming of the cross. But sometimes I've seen when they actually take the cross and the cross blooms, they'll put a red flower out here. They'll put a red flower out here. They'll put a red flower down where the feet go, and sometimes even on the side, I've seen them line up red flowers. Because when they nailed Jesus on the cross through both hands and through his feet as they laid him over, that was blood that was shed for mine and your sins. And then as they came around and he was already dead, they took a spear and they pierced his side, and the scripture says, forthwith came blood and water. Now, scientifically, you can understand that if you want to look deep enough to understand that after a person dies, all the remaining blood in the body goes to a sac around the heart called the pericardium. And the white blood vessels and the red blood vessels separate. So scientifically, it can be true. You don't just have to believe the Bible. Some people have to have more, right? But it was a cruel message. You know, the crosses that we wear, they're silver or they're gold. And I've even seen them have stones in them, birthstones. Sometimes they're like the little cross that was stuck up in the ground after the ground had been weed-eaten and everything had been cleaned out. The cross was stuck back up, and it wasn't boastful. It wasn't in your face, as some people are, but it was saying, I believe in the cross of Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for me. You see, crucifixion was a cruel means of torturing a person to death for crime. And the way that crucifixion actually worked is when a person was hung on a cross, they were generally roped and not nailed like Jesus. They would rope their arms and they would rope their feet. And the reason a person typically would die was through carbon dioxide poisoning. Because they would have to be able to push themselves up to exhale when they took in oxygen. Now that would be difficult enough if your feet were roped, but in Jesus' case, his feet were nailed. So to be able to breathe or to exhale, he would have to push himself up on nails that were driven through his feet as his flesh and his bones would tear just to be able to breathe. And the Bible tells us that there are seven cries that came from Jesus when he was on the cross. In every instance when Jesus would speak, he would have to push himself up upon those nails and that tearing flesh in his body, tormented in pain as his blood was shed for you and I, so that he could say things like this. So that he could say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And at the end, so that he could cry, "Tetelestai." It is finished. You see, when we wear the cross, we don't just wear it as a piece of decoration and we don't put it up as a reminder understanding the torture of death, but it's this: that cross is why I have life. You see, it was a cruel message. It was a condemning message. You see, the cross is a reminder, as I look at the cross, of our condemnation. Of my condemnation. You see, as Christians, and it should to an extent remind us of our sin. It reminds us that we are guilty before God, because crucifixion was a penalty for sin. It was a death sentence. See, the passers-by, when a person was on a cross, they would look upon the sinners with disdain. And as Jesus was hung on the cross, they put a sign up over his head, mocking him. But it was true. It said, "King of the Jews." They would look at him, they mocked him. Even the soldiers sit at his feet and they cast lots for his garments. There were some that wept, but most mocked. See, crucifixion was a condemning message because crucifixion was a curse. And I want to give you some scripture for that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 21, verse number 22 to 23, your Bible says this. It says, "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." If you go to the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, the scripture says that Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." You see, when we look at the curse, we need to understand, or the cross, we need to understand that Jesus bore our curse. You know, I've studied some things about the disciples. And historically, and this is extra biblical, okay, this is historical study. Historically, it's written that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to die like his Lord. One of the other disciples was crucified on an X-shaped cross rather than a vertical cross. But it was cruel. It was condemning. The difference for you and I, as I stand here today, and I thought about this as I looked at the cross, It's not because I'm not guilty. I'm guilty. I have sin. You have sin. I need a Savior, and I know it. The problem today in the world that you and I are living in is not everybody understands what the cross has done and what the value of the cross is. I do. And when I looked at that cross stuck up in the ground, I realized that person understands the value of this cross and how important it is. We don't just stick it up in our yards flippantly or wear it around our neck. That's my Lord we're talking about. And He bore my curse. You see, it's a cruel message, it's a condemning message, but I also want you to see this message of the cross is a converting message. It can change your life. You see, because Jesus literally took my place and your place on the cross. Now, we know if we study the scripture that the Bible tells us there was a man, his name was Barabbas. And Barabbas, the scripture says, was guilty of sedition and murder. It was known that he was guilty. But it was customary at that time that they pardon someone. And in an effort to release Jesus, who they really could find no fault with, they thought, well, maybe if we mention this, they'll let him go. But no. They took Jesus, who was guilty of no sin, and put him on a cross and let a murderer and one guilty of sedition go free. You see, so literally, Jesus took the place of Barabbas. But I believe it's more than that. I believe that literally, Jesus took my place on the cross. And he took your place on the cross. And he took the place of every person who would be willing to accept what he did. The problem is a lot of people just would not accept it. You must accept it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then in Colossians 2 and 4, I like this verse because it's another reminder of what the cross has done. It says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." You see, looking at it that way, my sins were crucified with Jesus. I heard a young man preach a message one time, and he asked the question, "What will you leave at the cross?" Think about that. What do we have in our life that we need to take and nail onto the cross? Imagine if, rather than decorating the cross with flowers, one day we had a cross, and you would come, and you would write your note, and you would fold it because you wouldn't want anybody to see it. And you would take a pen and you would pin it on the cross. How many notes would I have on the cross? How many notes would you have on the cross? How many things would we put on the cross? And here's the thing, every time we stick that pen or we stick that thorn into the cross, we're pinning it on Jesus. And we're putting it on him. And it's not just the needle going into the wood, but that's the pain that Christ feels every time that we sin. But here's what he did. Knowing all of these things, he still went to the cross. And he said, "I'll take it all. I'll take all your sin. I'll take all of your pain. I'll take all of your wrong. I'll suffer on your behalf because I love you that much." Now, why would we fold those notes? Maybe we need to do that one day. Maybe we need to do it just so that you can be free. And you can be free. But you got to bring it to Jesus. Sometimes the literal side of it's what helps somebody. But we'd fold it. You know why I would fold mine? I don't want you to see it. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus has already seen it. And he already knew it. One of those things that he said when he pushed himself up on that cross is he said, if they do these things in a green tree, what will be done in the dry? What does that mean? If they treated Jesus the way that they did and they saw him, they saw the miracles, they saw the things that he done, that he had done no wrong, but he came and he healed the sick. He gave back sight to the blind and he cleansed the leper. If they did that and they saw it, what he's saying is, what are they going to do in your day? Well, the only thing you have is a preacher that's doing the absolute best that he can in the midst of a country that's drifting farther and farther away from God, to get people to believe and understand that they need Jesus and that they need forgiveness of sins. You see, the truth is, if people fully understand this, how could you not run to the cross weeping with everything that you have in your hands and pin it on the cross? Now, because of that, the cross, to me, it's a comforting message. You see, it's a reminder of the fact that we are loved. You are loved more than you can realize. Now, folks, I feel like I'm loved. I do. And if you're here this morning, here's what I want you to understand. You're loved. You're loved by God first. And I love my wife, and I know that she loves me. And I love y'all, and I know that y'all love me. But it don't compare to the love that God has for us. But if you're here this morning, I want you to understand something. This church loves you. But God loves you. And when I look at the cross, it's a reminder that I am loved. It's a reminder that I am forgiven. It's a reminder that I have been given mercy. And it's a reminder that God has given me grace. You see, it's a comforting message because of the reminders, and it's a comforting message because everything has been completed. What do you mean by that? I'm gonna get done with this. I want you to understand this. One of the cries, remember totalistai, it is finished. Here's what I want you to understand. This is why it's comforting. Nothing else has to be done for you to be saved. It's already been done. You know, there are places you could go. There are religious groups and religious houses that when you get there, if they can get you converted to be a part of their group, they're going to begin the process of telling you all the things that you've got to do if you want to try to earn your way to heaven. I want to tell you something. It's already done. It's already paid for. All you got to do is receive and believe, and it's done. That's why the scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And the last I want you to see this morning is it's a calling message. It's calling. And praise God, there's a call that's still going out. That's why I said it doesn't matter who gets elected. They're going to pass. Jesus Christ is still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still going to come back and he's going to get his children. And one day, enough is going to be fulfilled that he's just coming. But here's the good news, and I preached on good news last week. This is good news. The calling message is that the call is still going out, and the call of the cross of Christ is still in effect. In John chapter 12, verse number 32, Jesus said this. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now here's something I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit, and this separates what we believe as Christianity from every other religion in the world. The Holy Spirit, which is part of the Holy Trinity, only exists in Christianity. And when the word is preached, the Spirit of God moves through a place and it draws people. And when you look at the cross and you hear the message of the cross and you listen, if you'll open up your heart, what will happen is the Holy Spirit will draw you. That's when you can get saved. You see, every person is going to have to deal with the cross. I dealt with the cross when I was 12 years old. I didn't understand everything. I certainly did not know the scripture that I know now, did not understand the Bible that I do now. But I was down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, 12 years old, when Earl Partain preached revival for my dad. Being in church all my life, week after week, week after week, doing the things that kids do. But that day was different. Because that Holy Spirit that I'm talking about spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that preacher is talking to you. You could have hit me in the face with a glass of ice water. Remember the ice bucket challenge? I'll never let Tommy Bruce talk me into anything else again. Never. I've almost forgotten. Honestly, about having that bucket of ice water poured over my head. But I have not forgotten when the Holy Spirit said, he's talking to you. Amen. And what happened to me that night was the calling message of the Christ, of the cross of Christ, it called me to repentance. I wasn't given a list of things that I needed to understand to be saved. I wasn't given a list of things that I had to accomplish to be saved. I was just told by the Holy Spirit that I was lost and I needed to be saved. And there was a call to come to Jesus. You see, when we think about the cross and we look at the cross, there's something that should happen to us. It should bring us to our knees. The cross should bring you to your knees in repentance. That you need to be saved. It should bring you to your knees in thankfulness of what Christ has done for you. And it should call you to action. See, I'm saved by the grace of God, not because I've done anything good, because of what Jesus did. And because he saved me, now I want to follow him the rest of my life. Not about me. It's not about you. See, sometimes where we get messed up is like this, and we're going to have a song in just a minute. Is this the cross? It's not you. But the old devil, he'll tell you, well, you know, you still got a temper. Yep. Still say things you shouldn't say sometimes. Yep. Still think things you shouldn't think sometimes. Yep. You messed that up, yep. But here's my cross. Amen. And I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because of the cross.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Here's a question for you this morning. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? What are you going to do with it? When Jesus was put on the cross, there were three of them there. There was one on one side who looked at Jesus and he mocked him, just like the world's doing today. They mocked Christianity, they mocked Jesus, they mocked the cross. They blamed God. But there was another beside him. Said Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. And they put him on this cross. But he looked at that other criminal over there and he said, we're getting what we deserve. He didn't do anything. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And praise God. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you don't have time to get baptized, you're on the cross. You didn't take communion today. You didn't act right today. You didn't give enough today. But he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm going to ask Miss Donna if she's going to come and sing a song. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet, and I want you to think about the cross. What do you believe about the cross of Jesus Christ? Has the cross changed your life? Do you love the cross? Do you love Jesus? Or maybe you need to come to the cross. You know, there have been times that we've had people come to this altar, and I one time came up here, and there were little notes all the way across. And I just picked them up. I didn't read them. You know what I did with them? I put them in a box. Come back another time, and there were little pieces of wood that had things written on them, and I picked them up. Didn't read them either. Put them in a box. Went through a period of time where we're getting so much of that, I said, I tell you what we're going to have to do with these. We're going to have to bury them under the altar. We're going to put them in a box, and we're going to put them underneath this pulpit so that every time the word is preached, every time prayers go up, somebody's got something here today they need to put on the cross.
Amen.
You can write it down. You can bring it. You can pray out loud. You can pray silent. But you need to bring it to the cross.
Amen.
She sings this song, if God spoke to you, will you come?
Bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen. That's a great song.